Welcome to Impact, the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. This is a pre-recorded show. The views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn. Hi, I'm your host Lynn, and today we're discussing the Career Services Office of the Student Affairs Division of Henry Ford College with Chad Austin, a Career Services Officer. Welcome, Chad. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you very much for having me.
And you are a Student Affairs Professional.
That is correct.
Tell me what that means. I've never heard that before.
Student Affairs Professional is basically anything that happens outside the classroom. So if you have, you go to Career Services and you're talking with someone who's a full-time staff member of the college, odds are good they're in the Student Affairs Division. Counselors, advisors, people that help you pick your classes fall into the Student Affairs Division.
Okay.
Athletics, things like that. And bigger schools, you're talking about Greek life, judicial affairs, all different components. Basically, anything that happens at college outside the classroom, that falls within the realm of student affairs in a lot of ways. So it's something that I've been doing for a long time, actually since I graduated from college. I've only ever worked for colleges, and I've always worked within the umbrella of student affairs, and that's something I enjoy tremendously.
Do we have sororities and fraternities here at Henry Ford?
We do not. Okay. That's something that you typically find at a college with a large residential population.
Okay.
And a four-year college typically. So, no, we don't have any. Not to my knowledge. Anyway.
Okay. They may be, what is it, from Animal House? Double secret probation type people
exactly.
Or something
no
like
one's
that?
No one's on double secret probation yet. that I'm aware of. But if it's a secret, I probably wouldn't be aware of it.
Ah, there you go. Tell us about some of the things that you're working on, some of the projects you're working on, and outline what happens in the student affairs area.
Sure. Well, the Career Services Office falls under Student Affairs because, like I said, it's anything that happens outside the classroom. So within Student Affairs, we try and make sure that the student experience here at HFC is rewarding, it's balanced, and it's exciting. You know, we try and make sure that students don't just come to school, take classes, and leave, which is common at a community college
Sure.
or a college where there's a large commuter population. So we work to make it engaging. We try and have different activities, events, things that captivate students. Now, within my particular area of career services, our job is a little bit more focused on getting students prepared for life after college and getting them to see that their time in college isn't just about taking classes, it isn't just about studying. It's about that preparation aspect, that exploration aspect, where they can really figure out what it is they want to do, how they can take classes, get a degree or certification that will help them with that, and then transition into the world of work as successful professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a challenging task sometimes, but it's something that we in career services enjoy doing.
Okay. I know that I have not been a student here for a long time, but I'm hearing things and I see things in the newspaper and that with regards to some of the coordination, I guess I could use that term, with regards to four-year institutions where you can, if I understand correctly, you are now able to get a four-year degree here. Is that true or not
that
quite?
Is
or
absolutely true.
Okay.
We are, Henry Ford is working with a variety of colleges to establish a four-year agreement with a lot of these organizations. Siena Heights was the first to come on board. Madonna University has recently signed off with us. I believe Eastern Michigan as well. And what this really allows you to do is take 3 years of classes at Henry Ford in a select program and then transfer to those colleges I mentioned previously to complete your fourth year and then get a degree from that institution. So in terms of cost saving, you're not going to find a better deal than that. And Henry Ford is kind of committed to really making those connections strong with a lot of regional universities and colleges that want to work with us.
Right.
And we have our college center over in the Welcome Center on the third floor. We're going to have different colleges have representatives there eager to help our students figure out the best path for them and whether or not a four-year degree is the best way to go with that.
Okay. As you're working with one of those colleges you mentioned, are you getting a two-year degree and, are you getting an associate's degree or are you going directly from entry level to a four-year degree?
Well, the way it's set up, I believe, is that you can pick up a two-year degree along the way, and I think that there's a tremendous amount of value in that. You know, the focus of community colleges has always been to prepare workforce folks with a two-year degree that can go out right out in a lot of areas, get jobs. You know, the associate in applied science area specializes in two-year degrees where you get a specified skill set and you can go out and go to work. And I think that that's going to continue, and that's not something we're going to step away from. You know, Henry Ford is working to gain more four-year partners. We're looking at our own first four-year degree in the culinary arts program very soon. And I think that four-year is going to be an essential part of where we're going. But at the same time, there's a strong need, especially in Michigan, for certain areas with certain workers with two-year degrees. And we're not going to stop doing that. We're going to continue to work on making sure that students that want to come here get a two-year degree and go straight to work and get good jobs with good pay in fields that are in demand in Michigan and in the Midwest.
What are those fields?
You know, there's so many, and I get that all the time. I get the students coming in looking for that, especially the younger students who maybe have been told when they were in high school from their counselors, just take this class and you'll be fine, or take this program, you'll be okay. Well, students come to me and say, well, what should I do? And I say, well, that's, you know, that's a tough question. And we'll, if you want to talk about exploration, we can talk about that for days. But quite often they just say, you know, what's the best field for me to go into that where I'm going to make good money? And that's a difficult question to answer because there are a lot. You know, I think our nursing two-year degree continues to be very, very marketable. We have so many technology degrees. The energy technology program is one that's outstanding. HVAC is not going away. Heating, ventilation, air conditioning is always going to be in demand. There are so many great architecture, construction technology is another one. And then so many of our health careers programs are doing wonderful things. And I'm lucky in that as the only career services officer on campus, I have to serve on every program's advisory board as the career services representative, which means I get to hear at these meetings on a yearly basis what's going on in the field and what's happening with them. And I know for a fact that we're turning out great students in these areas, and I'm proud to help them find jobs when the time comes.
Is law enforcement still something we're working with?
Criminal justice law enforcement is a really exciting field. It's something that we have three separate programs. We have criminal justice probation and parole, and then criminal justice with an eye towards going on to get your degree and entering into the police academy. So there are definitely some areas within that is very exciting. And I think we're planning late October, I'm thinking the 28th or the 29th, I would have to double check my dates, we're actually planning a joint criminal justice job fair with the University of Michigan Dearborn, which is the first year that we've kind of done it where we're going to have it both programs from U of M Dearborn and from Henry Ford kind of sharing the burden and trying to bring in these different criminal justice organizations to do recruiting. We've done some in the past individually. They've been very successful. The lead of the criminal justice program here, Greg Osowski, very, very good at promoting his program and getting a lot of students involved. And hopefully that market will continue to stay strong in terms of placement for students.
Right. One of the things I heard about recently on the news, it was the police chief, I believe, from Dearborn Heights was talking about how it used to be that a police officer could come out of high school and go through some training, and now there are more degreed professionals that are going into the police. Could you speak to that?
Well, I can't speak to where police were several years ago. All I can say is that when the recent trend since I've come to Henry Ford College seems to be that you want people in the role of police officer or in criminal justice field that are professionals, that didn't do this on a whim, that have invested their time, their energy, and their education into learning what it means to be a competent law enforcement professional. So we do have quite a number of students that come to us and say, this is something I've always wanted to do, this is something that I'm excited about, and we advise them, if that's the case, then you should pursue it. But it shouldn't just be, well, I'll do this because I've seen a lot of cool TV shows with cops. It really does need to be a calling for them because it's a lot of work. And I think even today with the advent of social media, police officers are under scrutiny like never before.
Absolutely.
So we talk to students. We say this is not something that can be done on impulse. It's something that you have to commit to. And by and large, the students that come to us and say this is exactly what I want to do, they're willing to make the sacrifice and do the 2-year or 4-year degree. And mm-hmm. as such, more and more police officers are having degrees in psychology, in criminal justice, which I think helps make them more effective in their jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not your calm, quote-unquote, normal person that you're going to get involved with when you are a police officer. It's somebody who's maybe started out in that place and has had some stressful something situation, or somebody who's on the other end of the spectrum.
Entirely possible, yes.
Let's talk about something more fun, like food. It's always all about the food.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the culinary program is so exciting. The food is absolutely spectacular. And if you walk by the showcase over there, you'll see all the ribbons that they've taken in assorted competitions. And talk about that program, if you would, a little bit.
Well, the culinary arts program here at HFC has been, I've worked with them since I first got here, and they are committed to excellence, you know, in everything that they do. They work on developing the whole person when it comes to both front and back of restaurant experience. You're going to work the front line. You're going to take orders. You're going to work the salad bar and do all those other things. But then you're going to go in the back, and you're going to learn every aspect, hotel restaurant management, the business side of things. They are working on creating professionals that can step into the world and do a variety of tasks within the culinary arts field.
Right.
And they make some really good food, too.
Oh, yeah.
I can't begin to say how often my staff says, well, why don't we have a meeting over at the 5101 and grab some food? And I say, well, you know, we can't do that every day. But the food there is outstanding. And, you know, the Ice Carving Club, which is through the culinary arts program, it's sponsored by them. Chef Lau runs a great, and they're in everything. They're in all the festivals, and they get calls all the time for doing some really magnificent work.
Yep.
And employers want to work with the culinary arts program. They know how good they are. And when you talk with a lot of the students that come out of that program, since we in the Career Services Office are fortunate enough to work with almost every culinary arts student that comes through, because they have to complete a cooperative education requirement before they graduate. So and that's through our office, which I'll be happy to talk a little bit more about. But the students that come through have a very clear idea of what it is that they want to do. And I had a situation, I don't know, last year where I talked to a gentleman. I said, you know, what sort of type of job do you want to go out and get? And he said, I just want to make great bread. That's all I really want to do. He says, I don't really care what kind of work I do. I really like making bread.
Oh.
And he went out and found... Yeah, you think
slang.
No, it's not slang. It was, he actually likes to make bread, and he wanted to just work as a
baker,
an artisan.
Bread
yeah,
baker,
really.
Yeah.
He does it and does it very well, and I've had some of his product, and it's outstanding. And they have a clear idea of what they want to do, and we work very hard in the Career Services Office to help them make that a reality. Whether it's working as a sous chef in a large restaurant, whether it's I had a student that just wanted to go back and work at a Coney that her parents owned. She said, I just want to, you know, be the best, you know, chef that I can be there. And that's
sure.
what she wanted. Others
sure.
want to start their own pastry businesses on the side. And they all have different dreams, but the skills and abilities that they acquire through the program here more than prepare them for whatever it is they want to do after they graduate.
Mm-hmm. Have you watched the Ice Carvers in action?
I have. You know, my wife and I have 2 young kids, and we love to take them to the Plymouth Ice Festival.
Oh, the Ice Fest,
the Ice
right, in January.
Every, yeah, and it's always cool to see the Henry Ford Carhartt gear out there carving stuff up, and they turn out some amazing work, and it's fun to watch them, and they seem to generally be enjoying themselves.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, I always joke to my daughter saying, well, should Dad grab a chainsaw and hop over? And then she's always like, no, you can't do that. You're not qualified enough to do that. So I said, okay, well, I'll let them handle it this time. So.
Oh, yeah, chainsaws, irons.
Not my forte, I can tell you that.
All sorts of interesting household tools that go out to the ice, which
but
is
fantastic. But some great results.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah, beautiful. And then I don't know if you saw the nighttime. Actually, this wasn't Henry Ford, but there's a nighttime sculpture that is ice with fire.
Wow.
It is an amazing sight.
To check that out.
But we digress,
yes.
Right?
It's easy to talk about ice in the dead of summer.
Exactly,
exactly. Out, so.
Tell me about some of the other sectors. We talked about law, we talked about food. What about the nursing program? I know that for as long as I can remember, Henry Ford's nursing program has been held very high.
And I think that continues. You know, recently they went from a wait list admissions to a competitive admission. So I think that's raised the bar quite a bit for folks that want to get into the program. And The nursing program undergoes a lot of changes. It has changing requirements. I think that they're also looking at moving towards a four-year degree down the line. But the dedication and the passion of the staff is readily apparent. You know, we do two career fairs a year just for nursing.
Really?
And okay. We never have an issue with getting employers to come or getting schools that want to recruit our students to come. Mm-hmm. And what we're finding in the field is that the nursing students are prepared. We do a lot of work with them to make sure that when they go out and interview and when they present their resumes that they represent themselves and the school very well. But what we're also finding is that a lot of the employers now are saying, yes, you've got a two-year degree in nursing, which allows you to work for us. However, you have to, when you sign your contract with us, commit to going back and getting your four-year degree.
Right.
So the fact that we're looking down the road of offering a four-year degree, I think, puts HFC right on the right path with where we want to be in terms mm-hmm. of servicing the needs of our students.
Right.
And I've been fortunate enough to work with a lot of the nursing staff. Excellent, excellent people that really seem to care, and
mm-hmm.
they all like. I think they like working with our office because we do a lot of career fairs with them, and we do presentations to them as a group, to the nursing students as a group.
Mm-hmm.
I think by the time they're second year students, they're probably sick of hearing from me, but they go out there and they're prepared to do well. And Southeast Michigan, I think, Michigan as a whole has an aging population. It's going
yes.
to, there's less and less folks that are retiring and leaving the state. They're staying put,
mm-hmm.
whether that's through financial hardships or due to other factors. So the needs of a lot of the health career fields that we're in are going to not, that Henry Ford is involved with is going
right.
to stay fairly lucrative now and in the near future. I think our ophthalmic technology program,
mm-hmm.
our PTA program, so many other respiratory,
yeah.
I could go on and on
yeah.
and on, Surg Tech. There's so many great programs.
And the whole aspect of PT has changed dramatically in the last couple of years. Would you like to speak to that?
Well, I'm certainly no expert, but I can say that the physical therapy program here, as physical therapist assistant program here, has revolutionized kind of how they go about teaching.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotten new equipment. They've got overhead cameras, things like that, where they can all visually see what's going on. And talking with Steve Pedley and Cindy Schuer, who run the program, great, great people that are really passionate about what they do. And they have recognized the changing needs of how to teach, and they've modernized really, really well. If you ever get a chance to go over to the third floor of the Health Careers Building and check out the PTA lab,
mm-hmm.
some really cool stuff. We've had some visiting dignitaries from different countries come, and that's one of the places that we show them, and they're
really?
Always blown away by some of the different
okay.
stuff we're doing. So,
right.
yeah, some really interesting stuff there.
Yeah. I mean, years and years ago, it was kind of a Snicker Hank High kind of thing, and we are not that any longer by any stretch. This is a very well-regarded school now.
Absolutely. And we've dropped the name community from, we're Henry Ford College,
mm-hmm.
and we've dropped, but I think if you ask anyone, community is still a big part of what we do. And we're proud to be Dearborn, Detroit. We're proud to service that Southeast Michigan community. And I don't know how we're viewed nationally, but I know regionally people still always get a smile on their face when I say that I work at Henry Ford College. They're, oh, what's going on there?
Mm-hmm.
What are you guys up to? And
yeah.
I think we've weathered a lot of change.
Sure.
And of course, it's not something that's going away. Change is inevitable,
right?
And I think change can be very good,
mm-hmm.
but I like the direction we're heading.
How about some of those sectors, for lack of a better word, that aren't quite so visible? You talk about people who are studying liberal arts, mm-hmm. the social sciences, science in general,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing, engineering. Care to talk about any of those fields?
Well, what liberal arts does, I think, is more than anything else, is prepares you to develop your soft skills. And soft skills are critically important. There are so many companies out there that will tell us that due to lack of soft skills, they can't bring people on board. You know,
right.
they need someone who can format a sentence correctly or talk in a social setting or be able to understand how to talk to their boss properly. You will not believe some of the emails I get from students where they're talking to someone they're trying to ask a favor of or they're trying to get information from, and they're still using text or Twitter slang,
oh,
the shorthand
right,
that is
right.
so prevalent, and I can barely read it. But that is unacceptable in the world of work. So with a liberal arts degree, I think that you do have to go on and get an additional level of education beyond. You know, a liberal arts degree at the two-year level allows you to apply for jobs that require a two-year degree, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think they're the basics that they get, the students get with the soft skills and the development of those different, you know, the ability to communicate, the ability to multitask, so many things that are critical that a lot of employers value.
Mm-hmm. Science?
The associate and science programs are all set up, by and large, to prepare students to transition to a four-year college, and they do a very good job of that. The one that comes to mind right now is the engineering, the pre-engineering program. Very involved group of faculty that are trying to really, and I think that, you know, I think recently they went to a national competition and did very well with engineering. I don't know all the details, but again, getting the basics here, getting the skill set needed to continue on at a four-year college and do very
right,
well.
Right, right. Yeah. And to know that when you have that two-year degree from Henry Ford, that it does speak.
It's in the bank. And
absolutely.
It's something you can always
yeah.
fall back on. I think
yeah.
that's a great thing.
Yeah. Let's talk about one of my favorite things since we're talking right here on WHFR Radio. What about the music program?
The music program, I think, is outstanding. I think that there is, you know, in my role as a career services person, I focus so much on the technical things, the mm-hmm. jobs that can pay the bills and keep the lights on for you. But there is a lot more to creativity, to interest, mm-hmm. to than just getting a degree and going to work from 9
right,
to 5 every
right.
day. And I think that if you talk with a lot of the different faculty that fall into that category, there are some wonderful things happening at HFC that allow students to dream and to pursue their passions.
Right.
And it doesn't always have to be a clear, you know, some people want that. Some people want that clear, I want to know when I graduate, this is what I can do, and this is how I can lead my life and have a regular paycheck. Other students want to be excited about what they're doing and, mm-hmm. and be passionate, and the career will come.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I see stuff like music to you know, some of the theater and mm-hmm. things like that. There's a great amount of culture happening at HFC, which for I'm guessing for a lot of schools that's not the case, but there, you know, I look at some of the ceramics and the artistry that happen yearly here and what's being taught here. It's exciting stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of that, there was a nice presence at the top of the hill at Dearborn Homecoming. And Steve Glazer was there with any number of really, really interesting pieces and beautiful pieces. They were actually throwing on top of the hill, so
really?
You could actually watch something get created.
That's
and,
really cool.
Yeah.
And he does a sale every year that's absolutely beautiful. And I've shopped it before. I will again. There's always something interesting there. And,
yeah.
You know, again, beautiful, beautiful pieces that
right.
for students that some don't have a lot of experience that create some really interesting
turning work. Out some beautiful pieces.
Absolutely,
right.
I'm the guy that still has the lumpy coffee mug with a handle half detached that was made for me once upon a time by a niece of mine. And,
okay.
So yeah, I can appreciate the fine craftsmanship.
Sure,
like that,
yeah.
So.
Big show coming up in November,
yes.
So we'll talk about that more on WHFR, but. Just a little plug right there.
Great.
Okay. Okay. Any other sectors of the college you'd like to speak to? Or?
Well, we have
so much.
We have over 200 programs,
yeah,
certificate,
yeah.
and associate level. And if I feel if I miss one, I'm gonna hear about it from a faculty member. I would say that if I haven't mentioned a program, they're all great.
Oh,
I think
yeah,
that they
yeah.
every faculty member works hard to make sure that their program is relevant, that it's applicable to today's market. And I'm really excited about working with, I would say the CIS program right off the bat, Computer Information Systems,
mm-hmm.
one of the top flight programs in the area. And they churn out, you know, the Cisco program turns out some great students that are able to go out and find jobs very well when they get their certification. So some great stuff.
Yeah. Tell us how to find out a little bit about more about you and what you do in your department.
Sure.
Is there a webpage we can go to?
Absolutely. You know, we have a website called HFC Job Leads. It's a main link off our homepage, which is careers.hfcc.edu. That's our homepage. And we break down our approach to helping students into three key areas, and I'll go over those if you'd like.
Okay, sure.
The first thing we try and help you do is explore. And without a doubt, that's something that some students don't know how to do. They come in with a very limited idea of sometimes why they've picked the field they want to go into. I'm the perfect example. When I went to college and I thought, oh, I'll be a teacher because mom and dad were teachers, and that's what I'll do. And
okay.
I got all the way to my senior year before realizing I didn't want to teach. So I try and help other students avoid that same issue. And so exploration is something we really encourage. And we give them different tools to help them do that. We have some great resources available online. We have one-on-one counseling if they want to come in. And we have actually a new service available through a joint program with the counseling office called the Career Resource Center, which is an entire computer lab devoted to career exploration. And we give them assessments, ability assessments, interest assessments, all designed to let people really find out what their true interests are and what it is that they might want to do.
So as a student, am I working with a computer and a human?
Absolutely, yes. Okay. We don't just stick you in a computer lab and call it good. We try and identify where a student's at. You know, some students will come in and say, I don't have the faintest clue of what I want to do. Others will come in and say, I think I know roughly what I want to do, but I need some more information on it. Others will come in and say, look, I know what I want to do. Can you tell me what the job market looks like? And whatever spectrum that student's on, we try and help them explore. So if they don't have a clue, we'll give them something called the Focus 2 Inventory. And that's where they'll take a whole bunch of questions and take their time to answer them, and hopefully at the end figure out, based on your answers, this is what you might be interested in, and this is how these tie to the different programs we have to offer. If they have a rough idea of what they want to do, we'll try and give them career resources so they can begin to kind of narrow down, all right, I know what my major might be, how can we transition that into a job? Because just because you have a degree in something doesn't necessarily mean you can find a job. It's not a one-to-one trade all the time.
Right,
you know,
right.
I use the analogy that your major, for a lot of programs, is kind of like the ballpark. We try and help you find your seat, which is your job. So
good analogy.
It gets you in the ballpark, but there's still a lot of options there.
Right.
And then, you know, if a student knows exactly what they want to do, then we try and really delve down into what's the job market look like? What are some job titles that are currently available? Where are you going to have to go if you want to get the maximum amount of salary or benefits or upward advancement that you're interested in? And so wherever a student falls, we try and give them exploration tools to help them do that. And we've got some great ones. Some of them are free. Some of them are just websites that we have available. Others are pamphlets, handouts, all designed around research. Now, you know, this, and for any students out there, this is the hard part. There is no straight up easy answer. They say, well, what should I do? I wish I could just hand you a slip of paper and say, this is what your job will be from now on, and you will always be happy.
That's life.
That would, you know, I'd be the genie from Aladdin, and I'd be really popular. But that's not life.
Right.
There's career changes, and there's doubt, and there's sudden shifts in where you're going, what you're doing, and life interferes. I've had some students say, you know, my passion is to be a lawyer, but I need to get a job now because I got to pay the bills. Well, lawyer takes a long time.
Yes.
What can we do for you right now?
Right.
So
right.
To say that there's one clear path, there's not. There's
right.
a lot of resources that we try and present you with. And, you know, if you just ever need somebody to talk to, I mean, we'll sit down with you and we'll bounce ideas and we'll share our own messed up way that we got into this field, and we'll try and figure out, you know, where you stand and where you're trying to go. So
right.
exploration, huge part of what we do. We're really excited about partnering with counseling because counselors are the first intake people. You know, after they see an advisor their first semester, students come to counselors every semester to, hey, am I on the right track? Am I taking the classes I need to? And these counselors and the counseling office that we work side by side with are great at helping students kind of get on the right path, pick the right major. And then we share the responsibility of running the Career Resource Center together. And
right.
there's, I think you'll see now and in the near future, a lot more smoother handoffs where we're saying, okay, this is where the student's at. Let's have the Career Services Office step in and kind of take over and
right.
make sure that those
right.
students are still receiving the support that they need. So
okay, so as I'm working on the computer and then I have questions or discussions or whatever with people and I'm trying to find my way down my career path, down my life path, are there any of these different points where there's a charge of any type, or is all of this free for students, or can the public come in?
Sure.
Or?
That's a great question, and I'm glad you asked it. We set up our office in a very specific way. We are open and available to all current students. Okay. So if you're a current student and you're taking classes, you have access to our services.
Okay.
Now, here's something that a lot of schools don't do. If you are a graduate of mm-hmm. HFC, mm-hmm. if you have an associate degree or a certificate of some kind, you have access to our services for the rest of your life.
Wow.
You can come back 20, 30 years from now, we'll help you out.
Wow.
We believe that that's something that we owe our alumni for completing their degrees from Henry Ford.
That's
there's
spectacular.
No charge. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's no charge outside of what your tuition and everything else
yeah.
is. So we're here to help, and you know we try and provide good services for students and alumni. Now, quite honestly, if you never come see us, we'll be okay. We've got plenty to do, but it's to an alum's and a current student's advantage to take mm-hmm. advantage of the services that we offer.
Okay. And as we're still primarily a commuter college,
mm-hmm.
So we do have a lot of part-time students. Are your services available for both part-time and full-time students?
Absolutely. If you sign up for one class, then you're a student. You're a current student. Now, we have had students who said, you know, I took a class a year ago and I haven't been back since. Can I get some help? And we had to draw the line somewhere. I'd
okay.
love to help anybody and everybody.
Sure.
But, you know, as soon as you sign up for classes, I tell them, come see me. I'm here to help, but I can't be that for everyone. Because if we talked to everyone who had ever taken a class here, then we'd be offering a lot more services. Because, you know, like I said, Dearborn loves HFC and a lot of folks are taking classes here.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be a current student or an alum.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Tell me about something I saw online, and it was called mynextmove.org.
You know, it's a great free service that's provided through the American Job Center, which is a great online resource. But the mynextmove.org is really kind of where we direct a lot of our students who are initially kind of confused as to where they need to be. And if you have no clue what you want to do, there's a nice little 60-question quiz that can kind of clarify a lot of things for you. If you have a rough idea what you want to do, it's a great way of kind of narrowing down your focus and seeing, hey, within this field, say you want telecommunications, here's a list of all the jobs that require a telecommunications degree. If you know exactly what you want to do, you can plug in medical assistant, and that job will pop up with a complete
wow.
description of job responsibilities, what the pay would look like in the state of Michigan and nationally, what skill sets you need to have, what personality works best in this field.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of great resources out there, and we're not looking to reinvent the wheel. We could have tried to do all this on our own, but in reality, there's so much great stuff out there.
Sure.
Why not make use of it? So we try and do that, and there's some others that we recommend as well. One of my personal favorites is jobshadow.com,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, sometimes the biggest challenge that a lot of folks have, especially if they don't have a lot of professionals easily accessible to them, is to talk to someone in the field about what a typical day is like in that job. And what jobshadow.com does is goes out every day and interviews different people in different fields.
Wow.
And they record the entire conversation. So you
wow.
can go and talk to a ballet dancer.
Right.
And find out what it's like to be a ballet dancer or what the job market's like. And you can go and find out, you know, if you want to own a small business, a chain of pizza shops, they have someone on there that's done that. If you
wow.
want to be a mechanic, aircraft mechanic, if you want to be a truck driver, there's a breakdown of all those things, and it's a one-on-one conversation. So it's kind of like you have access to all these different careers and people who've actually done it.
Yeah. Who actually owns or runs Job Shadow?
I have no idea.
Okay.
It's a site I came across one day, and my staff and I have both found it to be useful, so
yeah.
we plug it whenever we
I was can. Just curious if it was independent or if it was part of the government or...
I don't believe it's part of the government. I believe
okay.
it's a site that, you know, probably sells ads and things like that.
Sure.
But, we sure do like it.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, I have never in my life spoken to someone in ballet.
Sure.
And that would
log
be,
on. You could do it right now.
That would be amazing. I can get all kinds of ideas for impact shows.
There you
go. And there's an Occupational Outlook Handbook. What is that all about?
The American government does research on everything. I mean, if you want to know what the tax code was like in 1959 and its impact on salary output in the state of Michigan, you can find information on that through the
really?
U.S. government. One of the things that I like most is that they really try and examine jobs.
Okay.
And they do something called the Occupational Outlook Handbook, and it's a detailed description of every job out there. And it really gets into what you do on a typical day, what your pay might be like, what education level you might need, and it's deep, involved stuff. So you don't have to go out and say, well, I want to be this, but I have no idea what's involved in doing it. You can go to the Occupational Outlook Handbook, type in a few key phrases, and you'll find it. You'll find the median salary. You'll find the state-by-state breakdowns. It's all there.
Wow.
And it's detailed information, so why not make use of it?
Absolutely.
Now, and this is how I hook students quite often. I say, you know, has anyone here ever played video games for 3 hours straight? And they all raise their hands. I know I used to when I was in college. I'd knock out a whole afternoon playing Mario Kart or something like that. So they all raise their hands. And I say, you know, if you've got 3 hours to play video games, take 3 hours to read, to learn about your career field. I mean, if you're going to be doing this for forever, why shouldn't you invest as much time in beating a level as you do in picking a career?
Right, exactly.
And some students, I think, actually do it, and they come back and they say, look, there's a lot of information out there. And I agree, because sometimes it can be information overload.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the toughest challenge for some students, is figuring out what to listen to and what
right,
not to. But
right.
There's so much great stuff out there. We just try and serve as, I don't know, maybe a traffic cop or someone who can just kind of direct the flow of traffic and get them pointed in the right direction,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
whenever possible.
The thought that popped into my head was, you could have some idea that you wanted to do whatever, and maybe you had that down to like 20 different things that you think you'd like to do in your life. Going through these sites, you could find things you've never thought about
before.
Absolutely.
And sometimes that's what happens with students, is they realize, you know, I never thought about this. You know, we do one of the more popular exercises I do with students is a values clarification exercise, because the first question they always ask is, how much money am I going to make? And I get that. For some people that's very important, especially if you've never had it. That can be very important, but it's a small part. And so sometimes I say, you know, what are some other factors? And we start talking about, well, there's benefits, and there's retirement, and there's the hours. And then they start thinking, well, what about your boss and your coworkers?
Mm-hmm.
Am I working inside or outside? What are my hours? What's my flexibility? What about perks?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I get a company car? Then they start getting real, as the more they think about it, they start thinking about other things. Will I like what I do? And I had one student drop one on me, you know, this was a couple of years ago. She said, will it be good for my soul?
Oh.
I said, explain that. She said, well, am I going to be working for Philip Morris to make a better cigarette, or am I going to be working to save the rainforest?
Right.
Am I going to be able to look at my kids and say, this is how I helped make the world better?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always about grabbing the almighty dollar. There's
Absolutely.
A lot of, for some people it is, and that's okay. But you have to think about what values matter to you. And for a lot of students, they've never had that before. They've never mm-hmm. had to really say, okay, what are all the different factors that determine what's going to make me happy when I pick a career?
Right.
And you can kind of see the light clicking on for some of them. Some of them blow it off and they're going to do what they're going to do, but some of them actually do listen, and I think that that makes for a very exciting interaction with students, and I love doing that, and that's
right.
probably one of the more interesting things I get to do on a daily basis, is have that conversation. And it'll ultimately make a difference in how they go about choosing their major. I've had some students break down in my office and admit that they are in a major that their parents forced them into, mm-hmm. or that they think they have to do to support their family, when in reality they want to do these other things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so not always craziness, but it's a lot of, I think there's a lot of value to it,
sure.
in having those conversations.
At some point you have to follow some sort of passion,
mm-hmm.
or you just are going to go to work and die young because of the stress.
I try not to throw out the death as a threat,
okay.
option for some people. But I do say, look, I give this example, excluding sleep. Like, you know, when I'm sleeping and my wife's sleeping, there's times in the year when I spend more time with my secretary than I do with my wife, because I'm in there early every day, and I'm staying late because we have these big projects coming up. So you're going to be doing work for a long time. You're going to be doing it for a very long time. Why not at least enjoy it? I like coming to work every day. I like what I do. Are there days when I'm like, I got to get up and punch the clock, things like that? Of course. I think that's everyone.
Of course.
But I enjoy what I do, and if you can get paid to do what you love, yeah, maybe you're doing all right.
Yep. Definitely. So far as preparing for a job interview, does that fall under you somehow,
Absolutely.
Some way?
Okay. Absolutely.
I have seen and heard on the news some amazing stories, because people are too young, and I know that sounds ageist, but perhaps I should say inexperienced. And everybody is, you know, with the thumbs, mm-hmm. no matter where you are, what you're doing. I was horrified one time. It was my nephew's baptism. And in the middle of the mass, the phone rang a couple pews in front of me, and she actually answered the phone right there. Yes. You don't do that kind of thing. But I've heard about that happening in the middle of an interview where somebody will answer a cell phone call.
Shocking. I know. Well, we do a lot of different preparation, and we start off with what we call the job search documents. That before even we get to interview, we work on the documents that you'll put out there to market yourself. And these are the documents that you control completely, and that's your cover letter, mm-hmm. that's your resume, critical to have a good resume, and your references, three documents that you control completely. And that is your first foray into the professional world. Now, unfortunately, there's usually already a footprint in the form of social media, things like that. But we work on that as well. We work on cleaning up social media sites and preparing students for whatever may come as a result of that. But we also work on interview prep. We spend a lot of time with students in both group settings and individually working on an interview. And whether it's something as simple as how to shake hands correctly, which surprisingly a lot of people don't know how to do,
sure.
or how to smile, how to sit up straight. We are, by and large, here in the United States, we have terrible posture. We all slouch. I slouch because I'm so tall. I tend to slouch down to stay in picture frames. Otherwise, I get my head cut off in every picture. But how to sit up straight, how to approach a professional and interact with them and talk with them and questions to avoid and how not to say the wrong thing in an interview. It's an involved process. And students, you know, the analogy I use to kind of get their attention is, who here could ride a bike on their first try? And, you know, you always get one smart aleck who says, oh, I could. Well, that's great for you, but by and large it takes practice. And why would you think that interviewing is any easier than that? Now, some people will say, well, I got every job I've ever applied for. I said, yeah, but every time you get a higher level of education, you're stepping up your game. I said to the students one time, would any of you like to interview to be the CEO of a major company? And they all are like, no, I wouldn't do that. I'm like, why? Because I'm not prepared. Okay, well, that makes sense. That's mm-hmm. a tough job. But as you get education and you raise up in the ranks, right. the jobs are going to get more complicated. And as a result, the interviews are going to get harder. You know, interviewing for a night stalker position at Meijer, pretty easy. Interviewing for your first job where you're going to be doing CATIA and CAD design for Ford, a little bit different. So, yeah, you're going to need some practice. You're going to need to work on your delivery, on your salesmanship. You are marketing yourself. And that's something new for a lot of students. And mm-hmm. and when it comes down to dress, things like that, I could go on and on about dress. We actually are doing a special program through our office this year to try and help students increase their professional dress look. We're calling it our Suit Up program. We're taking donations. So if any folks out there have gently used or professional clothing that they'd like to donate, the Career Services Office is taking donations. We're trying to have a kind of a bank of clothes that are available to students should they need professional wear to go out and okay. interview with. So.
And there's a difference between the way you dress for the club and the way you dress for the job interview.
Nice and professional are not necessarily mutually connected terms. I've had a young lady show up at a job fair once in her prom dress. Because that was the most expensive dress she owned, she thought it just didn't look very professional, and it was a miscommunication. She thought she was dressed nicely, and I said, "You look very nice, and I'd love to take you to prom, but that's not what we're here for today." So professional dress is difficult, and it's something that, especially if you don't have a lot of time to prepare, can be very tough to do. So we encourage students to prepare. We encourage them to go out and get their stuff prepared well in advance. You know, ironed and tailored nicely, and you know, name brands aren't critical. You don't have to wear a Hugo Boss. A black suit is a black suit.
Right.
And if you look good, you look good.
Right.
So that's the ultimate goal with students. We want them to start thinking of themselves as professionals. Mm-hmm. That's why we bring employers to campus on a regular basis. We try and encourage them to think of themselves as professionals, and they have to dress accordingly. You know, we do job fairs throughout the year, and we have a big one coming up in October, and I don't let students in or anyone in who isn't dressed professionally. And I've taken a fair amount of grief for that, you know, and that's something I'm willing to do because you are my product, students.
Right, right.
You're the product I'm trying to market to these employers, and I need you to dress up. I need the nice wrapper.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
I need you to look good. And overall, I think it's been a positive for students. They know that they've come to expect, hey, if I want to do this, if I want to be considered as a professional, I need to dress and act like one. And we're working on.
Is the clothing drive an ongoing thing, or do you just do that as, you know, a periodic? It's on this date or
sure.
this week or what have you.
Right now, we're still in the gathering process. We're trying to get enough clothes where we can then start handing them out to students.
Okay.
Our plan is to have it open through our Career Expo. The Career Expo is on October 8th, from 11 to 2. And it's the big event every year. We'll have, right outside here,
okay,
right outside the booth that we're in, we'll have somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 to 80 employers recruiting on campus.
Okay. How do you find the employers?
We send out emails, job blasts, things like that. We'll advertise the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce. A lot of these employers are on our job database.
Mm-hmm.
We have an extensive job database with over 1,000 employers on there.
Wow.
And these are employers that have stated, we want to recruit HFC students and alumni. We want the skill sets they have available. So we don't really ever have trouble filling up the spots. I'd love to have more. I'd love to break 100. However, we're limited by space.
Right,
so
right.
We can't. You know, it's early October, and I think it'll always be warm enough. But I also don't really want a situation where there's rain. Otherwise, I'd put employers outside and I'd stack them all up. That's
right.
You know, fine with me. More the merrier. But ultimately, our goal is to connect students and employers because, you know, we've talked about exploration. We've talked about preparation. The last thing that we do and what we spend a lot of our time doing is connecting students with employers. We try and get them that face-to-face connection.
Wow.
Because when you do have such a prevalence of social media and applying online, students become, and they feel discouraged because they think of themselves as a little tiny little file on somebody's computer. And no one wants to be that. So many students tell me, well, if they could just meet me, they'd want to hire me. I said, okay, well, let's make sure that they can meet you. So we have employers come to campus. Thursdays are generally our on-campus recruiting days. We'll have different employers come to campus looking to recruit our students, usually for select programs, but there are some that are fairly general that just want to look for interested, involved, and engaging students. And we try and do that throughout the year in a variety of different ways.
And how do we find out when those dates and times occur?
Well, you can always follow us on Facebook or Twitter.
Okay.
We're active on both. And it's, you know, just search HFC and we'll pop up. Or HFC Career Help or HFC Job Leads or, you know, Henry Ford College Career Services will pop up.
Okay.
As a Facebook or Twitter. We have an announcements page. We send out job blasts, email blasts to students on a regular basis. We try and let them know what's going on. We do flyers. We keep the graphics department very busy. We're always cranking out flyers, and we try and make them colorful and put them out on a variety of, you know, platforms, things like that. So students generally know about it. And surprisingly, what we often get the biggest response with, which I find ironic in this day of high tech, everything is we sidewalk chalk. And we put sidewalk chalk and let people know what's going on. We even do big arrows, and people say, well, I saw the sidewalk chalk. I had to come in. I'm like, okay, well, whatever works.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
I think we're the first office on campus to regularly employ it. And so I raid my daughter's sidewalk chalk on a regular basis and bring it in to let students know about different opportunities.
Wow. Tell us about some of the co-op education opportunities that are out there.
Sure. Well, cooperative education is really something that different programs have the opportunity of including as part of their degree offerings. Some are required. Architecture, Construction Technology program, the Culinary Arts program, both have a co-op requirement. What it really is a chance for a student to gain practical experience while they're still in school. So once a student's 50% completed with their core coursework,
mm-hmm.
if they have a 2.5 GPA in their major and a 2.0 GPA overall, mm-hmm. they're eligible for co-op. Now what that is a chance for them to go out and work for a company, for a wage, while also taking and getting class credit for it. And so it's they'll be taking a class, they'll have an educational component that they have to agree upon with the faculty member in conjunction with their supervisor.
Okay.
And it's designed around getting that hands-on experience. So if you're a 19-year-old student who's completed half its coursework in computer information systems, but you've never worked in a company before. Now all of a sudden you have the opportunity to go work for a company that needs someone to work their help desk. Now you're getting practical experience in the field you're going into before you've even graduated. That's something you can integrate into your resume. And if you do well, odds are good that most companies are going to want to retain that talent. So we found that it's a great opportunity for students to go out, get that practical experience, kind of like an internship, mm-hmm. but we call it cooperative education. And it's a learning component. And it's you know, you're paid for your work. It's something that you can count towards graduation. And it increases your marketability tremendously.
Oh, yeah.
So instead of just, hey, I've had a paper route and I you know, clean dishes at a Outback Steakhouse. Now, by the way, I also was the help desk coordinator for such and such company for 6 months, and usually it's a semester long commitment.
Okay.
Although some programs have stretched it out longer, and you can get up to 4 credits of co-op. That it's really, really helpful.
Okay.
So there's an educational component too, and it's a great learning experience.
Right.
And we found that most students that participate in it love it. They get great enjoyment out of it, and they also, again, it increases their marketability.
Sure. So you have the marketability, you have the fact that you are getting a paycheck.
Yes, absolutely.
And you're out in the real world working, and you're getting college credit all
yes.
at the same time. So
win-win-win.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And then there's a work-study program.
Work-study is something that is through the federal government. Any student that applies for financial aid will get a letter back from different colleges that they are considering going to school, breaking down their financial aid package. Usually there's a Pell Grant, there might be a loan of some kind, subsidized or unsubsidized. And for some students, not a lot, but some, there's a line that says work study, and it'll give an amount, usually between $4,000 and $4,500.
Okay.
$4,500. And if a student gets that, then they're eligible to work on campus. There are usually about 150 to 200 student worker jobs on campus, mm-hmm. on this campus, mm-hmm. At any one time. And student workers play a critical role in the success of the college.
Mm-hmm.
And so my office coordinates all the work study positions on campus. We post them all on our job board. We let students know about them. And if a student is awarded work study, we encourage them to come in, fill out the application. It's not a quick process. It takes some time.
Okay.
Because they have to upload their award letter. They have to upload their class schedule, a transcript sometimes, if they're applying for a tutoring position. But if they are interviewed and hired, then the money that was allocated to their work study, that comes to them in the form of a paycheck. They're earning money that they were given, but the nice thing is they don't have to pay it back. With a loan,
right,
you have to pay that money back. But
right.
with work study, you're working for the college, and we pay you minimum wage. You know, it's $8.15 an hour, which is pretty good. Which, you know, with, say, a $4,500 award allows you to work for fall and winter, you know, 16 hours a week. And how great is it to have a job on campus?
Absolutely.
Where you're going to school?
Yeah.
You know, when
yeah.
I was in school, I was on the moving and paint crew. I was on the front desk crew. I did all those work study jobs because I had work study, and I got a great amount of satisfaction out of it. And it was a lot easier than going off campus to find mm-hmm. a job.
Oh, so, sure,
yeah.
sure. And net, you might learn something.
Absolutely. And you know, maybe that's what led me to a career in student affairs. I don't know. And the nice thing is that we also have the opportunity for international students to work if they want to. It's
okay.
paid, they're paid through a different funding source, but if you are an international student and you are interested in working on campus, stop by the office. We'll walk you through the application process.
Wow.
And quite honestly, we sometimes have more jobs than we have applicants for.
Wow.
And we'll have jobs go unfilled on campus. So I would say if you are a work study, if you check your award letter and you have work study, stop by our office, because We could use some more student workers.
Sure. Now, is that something that's restricted to full-time students only, or is that part-time, full-time?
It's full-time. You have to have 6 credit hours to be considered full-time and 6 credit hours to work as a student worker on campus.
Six?
Six.
That's it?
That's it.
That's 2 classes.
Yeah. Well, or even, yeah. Yeah, usually about 2.
All right. Very good. And one more time, the webpage to go to find everything.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you go to our website, it's careers.hfcc.edu. Now, here's the funny thing. Don't type in www. It'll come up as an error message. Just type in, go into the address bar, type in careers.hfcc.edu, or just click on the HFC homepage and type in careers. We'll pop up.
Okay.
We're pretty easy to find.
Okay.
And we've got a lot of great information out there. We're trying hard to service the needs of all of our students. And, you know, we're a commuter population with unique needs. Mm-hmm. And my staff and I are working tirelessly to try and make that a reality.
Okay. Tell me more about the October job fair. That sounds really exciting.
Absolutely. The Career Expo is, I believe this will be our fifth year of doing the Career Expo. This is the large-scale event that we do once a year. 80 to 90 employers. Some of the new features that we'll be having this year that we're really excited about is we'll offer headshots for students that want to set up their LinkedIn profiles. You know what LinkedIn is. It's a professional networking site. We feel right. It's absolutely imperative that students have a professional LinkedIn profile. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that we see quite often on LinkedIn is some of the pictures people post as their professional picture doesn't look very professional. So this year we're actually going to have a photographer come in. Mm-hmm. You can step in front of the screen, get a professional shot given, and it'll be sent to you free of charge. And we want students to have that opportunity. But mostly it's an opportunity for students to connect with employers. It's a great chance for you to look someone in the eye, shake their hand, introduce yourself, pass over that resume. You got to be dressed professionally to get in the door. I will serve as a bouncer, per se, although, you know, don't test me on that or anything. But I will make sure that every student that goes in is dressed professionally, and it's a great chance to connect. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, students, if you're not a graduating student and think it's only for students who are about to get their diplomas or their degrees or their certificates. Employers want to meet you no matter where you're at in your program. So stop by, talk with employers, gain some experience in networking and connecting, and you know, we're excited about it. It's October 8th. It's from 11 to 2, and the Career Services Office coordinates it. If you want to know a list of employers and sponsors that will be attending, just click on our website. It's updated regularly.
So, and that site one more time?
careers.hfcc.edu.
Okay. Fantastic. That's really exciting. I mean, you're making a difference. And the one thing that occurred to me as you were talking about the job fair, if you are, okay, it's October 8th, and you've been in school for a month. Mm-hmm. This is a good time to figure out where you're going. Exactly. If you don't know. And you may connect, and there's we're talking human to human. Mm-hmm. So there may be one of those connections with an employer that actually may help you shape your educational career along with your job career.
I would hope so. Mm-hmm. And I think that just hearing from a professional, not someone in my shoes who works for the college, but someone who's out in the field, you see them and you see that they're doing what you hope to one day do.
Right.
To have
right.
that chance to connect with them and say, hey, how did you get there? How did right. you get to where you are? I want to do what you do.
Right.
It's a great opportunity. So we're excited about it. And we have other fairs throughout the year, too. We'll have the Criminal Justice Job Fair with U of M Dearborn. We're going to have the Nursing Fair twice a year. So that's another one. We'll have a health careers fair and other fairs where we have employers come to campus. We're working to bring employers here. So
that is exciting.
So as long as we can get those students to dress up, come in with a smile on their face, and get some jobs, we'll keep putting out the job fairs.
So my only jobs have been with fast food restaurants and cleaning up kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I really don't know exactly what that means. And I know I maybe want to look like my parents when they go to work, mm-hmm. but I'm just not sure what to do. How do I, before you bounce me at the door of the job fair, how do I know that I'm doing the right thing, looking the right way, not wearing a prom gown?
Sure. We have a lot of guidelines available for students that kind of spell out what we consider to be a professional dress. We have a checklist of things that they can go through and say, okay, am I looking the right way? Am I presenting the right image? And, you know, ultimately we're trying to help students, so there's going to be some flexibility. If you are wearing a nice suit and you're, you know, wearing a black suit and brown shoes, I'm not going to bounce you.
Sure.
You know, I try and set a standard that is reasonable for what I can expect.
Right.
But it's a learning process, and you need to, and the other thing I'd say is don't sleep on fast food or other typical jobs like that, clean up. There's a lot of great transferable skills there. You know, you say, you know, working at fast food, mm-hmm. okay, so what comes to mind? Work in the fryer, work in the grill, taking orders, things like that.
Right.
All things that are pretty specific to fast food. Well, let me turn it on the head a little bit here and say, did you work as part of a team? Yes. Did you rotate to different assignments? Did you multitask in a high-volume environment? Did you research and respond to customer needs and concerns? All things that are very transferable.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need help with a resume, if you want to put the best light on the work that you've done, it's about saying the right thing. It's
right.
not about saying everything. It's about saying the right thing.
Exactly.
And we can help students with that. And it's okay if you don't know exactly what you want to do. If you know that you want a better life and you want to have the kind of dream of working in a certain type of environment, we can help you make that a reality.
Okay. All right. That is outstanding. Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
And thank you so much, Chad, for being here with Impact today. Let us have the contact information one more time. Can't get that out there enough.
Sure. The Career Services Office is located in the A building on our main campus, on HFC's main campus. We're room 113. You can enter through the Counseling Career Services Career Resource Center door on that main floor. We're open 8 to 4:30 Monday through Friday during the fall and winter hours, fall and winter semesters, excuse me. We're open extended hours on Tuesdays until 6:30 in the fall and winter. That's Tuesdays are also our walk-in days.
Okay.
Walk-ins are first come, first served for short 10 to 15 minute appointments. You can always call and schedule an appointment if you'd like at 313-845-9618. You can also email us at our email address is careers@hfcc.edu. Our website is careers.hfcc.edu, just to make it so close enough that it's complicated. And we have a lot of great resources available to students and the general public on our website. So check it out. There's a lot of good information there.
Okay. Both for full-time, part-time students at Henry Ford, alum, lots of service there, and some things that even the public could come to.
Sure.
So fantastic work. Didn't know all that was going on.
Glad to help.
Chad, thank you so much for being here today with Impact, and thank you all for listening to Impact, the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. The views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. This is a pre-recorded show. This is WHFR, Dearborn.
Guys and dolls out there, you're at the Malt Shop with Daddy G. We're going back to the 50s and the 60s here on WHFR. So, hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and head on down to the Malt Shop, where the jukebox is playing and the kids are dancing. And here we are, back in the 50s.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on, join me home, we'll have some fun.